Hey everyone, welcome back to the C3 SYD podcast. Today we're continuing in our First Things First series. We have a very familiar face with us today, so let's get into it. So Tyler, welcome back to the podcast. Previous host.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, now meeting
now
with,
I'm
the,
back.
With the new host.
Yeah.
Yeah,
guys,
crazy.
I love, how good's the set?
Thanks.
Are you kidding?
Really appreciate
this is so
that.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. It's quite cozy.
Yeah, I have missed it. It's good to be back.
Oh, well, welcome.
So thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So for anyone who didn't watch in the past, is new, has no idea who the heck you are, give us a little bit of a day in the life of Tyler?
Yeah, here's my snapshot. Married, beautiful wife, Em.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two kids.
Beautiful.
Bambi, who's like nearly four, and Sunny Boy, who's like one.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the best.
They're so cute.
Also so full on. If you're a parent, you know they're not mutually exclusive. It's like you take the good and the bad with parenting. I'm a location pastor here at church as well. So we look after one of our locations in the Hornsby area of Sydney. And then a little fun fact about me is I'm getting into chess.
Oh.
I was in the chess club in year two.
Year two?
Yeah, in year two. And then didn't play
That's
it for
crazy.
Like years.
Yeah.
And then I was hanging out with Jesse Ditchfield, if you know him. And he was like, do you want to play
some
chess?
Yeah, he's been on the pod.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay. He's like, do you want to play some chess? And I'm like, bro, like it's been a while, but anyway, it's kicked off something fierce. I'm watching like tutorials. Yeah.
You've kept that real quiet.
Well, I haven't hard launched my
budding
chess career, but yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Nice.
It could be my, most 30-year-olds go for a half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
No, you're sitting in a chair.
I'm not built like that.
Playing a game.
I'm built like that. No desire to be, but, oh, I mean, I wouldn't mind to be built like that. But I'm going for chess master, grandmaster.
Yeah, nice. It's all about the intellect.
2030. I think I'll need a good on-ramp. So, yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, today, as I mentioned, we're continuing our First Things First series. We've chatted prayer, the word, all those sorts of things. Today, we're talking about stewardship and doing life together in community.
Great.
So, when we talk about stewardship,
yeah.
I mean, do you want to give an explanation? Do you want me to?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think stewardship, it's honestly, it's probably not a word we use that much actually outside of church. It is quite a churchy word.
Mm-hmm.
That's because we do find the principle of stewardship in the Bible.
Yeah, right.
However, what it means is it's when you're entrusted with something that is not yours, but you're given it to do a good job with it.
Yeah.
So it's not that just you've given something, it's the thing you've been given that you're a good manager of it. You look after it well.
Yeah.
And that it actually, because it's been in your hands, it actually, it grows, it gets better, it multiplies. Like, you know, and I think some like common examples in our everyday life that we may not realize is stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
Even like how many people rent?
Yeah.
You know, like for me, we're renting right now.
Totally.
And it's not, a lot of people like really resent renting. You know, it's like, I don't own it. It's not mine to do with.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But we're actually, we don't have ownership of that thing. We're given it to look after.
Yeah.
I have to mow my lawns.
Yeah.
But I don't own it.
I have to clean.
I have to look after this place.
Yeah, totally.
And if I want my bond back, it has to be better than when I found it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So even if you're new to the concept of stewardship, there's a good chance it's alive in your life. And the you know, God puts principles in the world and you can act in one of those principles and not even be aware of it.
Yeah.
Like gravity.
Totally. And even like, I don't know, just in so many different professions as well, whether it like not specifically to do with money. Like athletes have to absolutely look after their bodies so that they can do the thing that they're skilled in. Like it's just in everywhere.
Yeah. And when you're not your own boss, you're building someone else's thing.
Yeah.
Someone else's brand, someone else's name. Sure, you do receive payment from that.
Yeah.
But ultimately there is this thread of I'm building this for someone else. I'm managing this for someone else. So yeah, that's what stewardship is.
Yeah, yep. That's great. Great explanation.
Thank you.
What would you say in looking at that, what would you say the world's relationship to money stewardship is?
Yeah, I think probably in a very quick snapshot, I'd say the general relationship, culture, and society teaches us with money is that it should be one of the greatest pursuits of our life.
Yeah.
Probably up there would be love, money, and success.
Yeah.
In the world.
And family, maybe some.
Family.
Yeah. But yeah, totally.
But even like, you know, career then family. So like
it
in some circles, money is like one of the highest pursuits.
Mm.
However, I found, and I think a lot of people do find that only, it doesn't sustain you and that money can be quite a fickle master, but especially when we put an X value on it, like I will be fulfilled or I will be content when I have X amount of money.
Yeah.
Often you find that X keeps moving, or the more you get, it doesn't actually scratch that itch inside of you. And it is actually quite different to how the Bible talks about money.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but Jesus talks about money like way more than other things.
Actually, didn't know you that. Think Thank he you, would
talk about.
No, he does.
It's,
yeah.
And because people do get a bit uncomfortable when the church talks about money. Mm-hmm. And I understand there's been some abuse in that area.
Yeah.
However, it is very core to the kingdom.
Mm.
The kingdom being God's kingdom.
Yeah.
God's kingdom.
I was like, do I brush over it? And then you acknowledged it. Well, I wasn't
going to. And I think the main difference in Jesus's teachings about money is that it's not evil, it's not bad, but if we don't allow Jesus to be king, money will be king.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes problematic. Mm. Yeah. In our lives. And you see the motivations, our pursuits in life, they get really warped to get money, to get as much as we can of it.
Yeah.
And that I've seen gets really unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Comes at the sacrifice of good things in our life.
Yeah.
Friendships, relationships, people's health and mental health.
Yeah.
Their faith,
you
know. So the teachings of Jesus in this, obviously it's about making him Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it, like I said, that principle is alive and well. Even people who don't know Jesus, when their pursuit is something like money, it can be really destructive.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you were saying with the X value changes and gets higher and stuff. It's like the more money you get, you then start like get a new car, you get all these new fancy things, and then you've got to maintain that, sustain that. It just like keeps going. And I know in times of my life where I've like let my lack of money affect the way I live and my mindset and stuff, I just feel so trapped by it. Of just like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of this? And like everything becomes a decision about like how I can hold on to the little bit that I have or whatever. Like, I can't go do that. Yeah. So I need to just stay home and do nothing. And like,
and equally, God doesn't want us to be living in poverty either.
No.
It's about the relationship with money that our heart has.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's we're not taking vows of poverty.
No.
We will live on the streets.
Yeah.
But it's like I trust God to look after me.
Yeah, exactly.
That even speaking to like dads, I think in our society there still is a lot of pressure on men that you are the provider.
Yeah.
And so me as a Christian guy, I need to remind myself, God's still my family, my provider.
Yeah.
And I need to trust him in that space. So maybe if the concept of trusting God to provide for you is new, give it a go.
Yeah.
It's not about being negligent.
Yeah.
Or not working. You don't stop working or anything like that.
It's not just like I'm not going to do anything. It's the stewardship. It's the stewardship. You play your part.
Yes.
But it is not the thing that is controlling you. Yes. And
Yes. Yeah. So the good question is, like, how does finances and stewardship come together?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the other concepts in the Bible is if you're faithful, right? So if you're a good steward with the little, then God can trust you with more.
Yeah.
So basically, like, we all kind of in life have different amounts in our hands.
Yeah.
We're born into different socioeconomical households.
Yeah, which totally shapes things as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
So we're not all born in the same monetary equality. Obviously, our value and our worth is equal. However, whatever you do have in your hands, big or small, it's actually your stewardship of that thing is what God judges you of. So if you're unfaithful with a lot, you will actually lose it.
Yikes.
And it will go to the person who is faithful with whatever amount they have.
Mm-hmm.
God's like Robin Hood. he steals from the unfaithful and he gives it to the faithful. Because that's what God cares about. He cares about faithfulness.
That's so funny.
Like if we're lazy or
negligent
with what we have, we should not expect to hold on to it.
Yeah.
We will actually lose it. So there is, it's not just like, oh, stewardship's a nice thing. No, there's consequences if we're not good stewards.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, and it happens in our workplaces as well. Mm-hmm. If our bosses are like.
Yeah. You get fired.
You get fired.
You don't do your job well.
Yeah. Or you definitely won't get promoted.
Well, yeah. Like, you could just stay that level.
You know, they trash their company car. They, the employees they were given can't stand them. You know, like how we look after things directly speaks to our character.
Yeah, totally.
So it matters in everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Shifting gears a lot.
Yep, let's go.
But still kind of in stewardship of your community and the people around you.
Yes.
I think, something I see a lot these days online is like people talking about making new friends in your 20s and 30s and like they're not a school-given friend. They may be a work-given friend, whatever. People are just like, I don't even know. Like how do you just like get deep?
How do you make new friends?
Yeah, how do you make new friends? How do you get deep friends?
Yes.
Like because everyone hates small talk. I feel like very few people love it.
I like everyone it until I don't, which is usually about 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, cool, okay. I wish I was deeper with you so we could just chat about whatever
real
else.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think stewardship definitely comes into that of like just being so intentional with people.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'd say in terms of just like the making friends quickly thing, I've had a few friends in the last like year that I've just made and very quickly they've become close, deep friends, which, great, love it. And I think that the key thing is just that, like, we got deep quickly of just, asking about pasts, like, for us being in church and stuff, asking about their journey to, like, meeting God or rediscovering God was a quick way to find out a lot about them and that sort of thing. But I think a top tip for me is be open to spontaneity.
Okay.
Because I think when people just want to like have that quick catch up, if you're too strict with your schedule, holding too tightly. Well, yeah, I don't have kids. Obviously, I can be a lot more free.
No,
but even just being like, oh, no, like I'm tired. I need my sleep or I've got work to do. No, I can't hang out. If you just like keep saying no to people, they're going to
stop inviting you
or stop wanting to hang out with you. So I think, being open to just being like, but again, if you're stewarding your time well, and obviously kids create a different factor to that, but if you're stewarding time well, then you should have spare time.
Well, absolutely.
For others to be then generous to others.
Most people have kids in their like late 20s or their 30s.
Yeah.
Very easy trap to just go and you only hang out with your family.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I would say it's even harder to make new friends when you start having kids because it's so easy to just be like you're too exhausted or this or that. So you almost need to be like, no, I'm doing this.
Yeah, be intentional about it.
I'm being intentional.
Yeah.
And the other thing I thought, the ability to go deep quickly you have to be vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
And that's scary because you don't know if it's going to be reciprocated or not. Mm-hmm. However, trust begets trust.
Yeah, totally.
And someone has to make the first move.
You're right.
You're kind of like sussing each other. You're like, you know, who's going to make the first move? And you don't have to spill everything. Be wise.
Yeah.
However, if you want depth, you have to be, you have to open up as well. And the deep friendships are what actually fulfills us and enriches our lives.
Mm.
Shallow, fake stuff, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere.
No.
No.
And
it's not helpful.
No. Exactly. What are some ways that, I mean, being a young dad with a couple kids, married, what are some ways that you and Em, like, steward your community well? Because you've got a great group of friends and most of them have families.
Yeah.
Some don't, but most do.
Look, it is hard, to be honest.
Mm.
And I would say we hang out way less.
Yeah, than you used to.
I think we have to give each other permission. So like, hey, you go and hang out with the girls and I'll stay home with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes more like orchestration to, because that spontaneity thing, you do lose that a bit.
Yeah.
Or the ability to be that.
Yeah.
Because someone has to look up to the kids.
Totally. Yeah.
So a bit more like planning, a bit more happening there. Otherwise, you just keep at it and we go camping together, we go to the movies together, things like that.
Mm.
The other big thing that's been great for us in this season is we run like a family small group.
Tell me more.
A small group's like a Christian group. You don't have to be Christian to come, but we do talk about things like God and church and the Bible. But we're all in that kind of same life stage together.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've been in one with like other young families because that's just the stage of life I'm in.
Yeah.
But we were like, we saw a lot of people getting into this stage and similarly as they find it harder to fit in friends, they also find it harder to fit in church and community because like just dumb stuff comes up like nap times and sports and like this is just life, right?
Mm.
But if you don't prioritize community, you will find yourself isolating.
Totally.
And then on the flip side, people go, oh, they stop coming to things. They keep saying no to things and they stop inviting you.
Yeah.
Not because they don't like you, but because they think, oh, I'm reading between the lines. They don't want to be involved.
Yeah.
And I've just watched a lot of – this also happens when people start dating or get married. Mm-hmm. They can just like disappear. So just whatever you do, you need to be really – careful not to isolate in any season you're in, single, dating, married, family.
Yeah.
Like there's always going to be some kind of trap to isolate or reason to isolate.
Yeah.
But in the long run, that's really damaging.
Yeah.
Like yes, be an introvert, go for it.
Yeah.
But not 24/7.
No. And then it becomes so much harder to try and like break back into community because then you're just
you lose your social skills.
you lose the skills.
Social skills you have to practice. People think you're born with them.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there's the natural extroverts.
Mm.
But for me, like I find sometimes talking to older people who I don't have a lot in common with, I'm like, oh, I need to get better at that.
Mm.
And so I'm practicing talking to older people.
You're stewarding it.
Yeah, or like Gen Alphas who I'm like, skibbity? Like, I don't know. But you can 6, 7. You can get better at it.
I take it back.
I heard it. It's on file.
Anyway, we've run out of time.
Yes, we have.
We've run out of time, like always. But if this has sparked any kind of interest, curiosity, you want to know more about stewardship, community, all these things that we've been talking about in this series, we encourage you come check out one of our services. We have 4 locations across Sydney. So head to c3syd.church to find out the location near you. And we hope to see you there. Thanks, Tyler. Great.
See you later.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.